sound. Zachary? Yeah. Yeah, you think he's going to be cute? I always love asking that question when it's about a baby because it's like, what else are you going to say, right? Nobody walks up to a baby and says, wow, look how intelligent that child is. You know? They just say, isn't he cute? Yeah, right. Okay, so today, you know, this is like Christmas week, but we have been waiting for Brady and Sarah to really, you know, kind of like get on with this baby thing. So I have prepared this message like a month ago, and this thing has just like grown and grown and grown. Well, a month ago, I wasn't thinking about Christmas. And then just a few moments ago, I realized that this whole message is really about Christmas in a really interesting way, because think about it, you know. For like God created man, and then 4,000 years later, he decides to send his son as a baby, okay? How cool is that? Because God is wanting above all things, to make a connection with his people, to make a connection with us. And as I thought about this, there's a video clip. I want to show you this video clip this morning, okay? And it's not during a Christmas season. It's not Christmassy, but it's from a movie I think you'll recognize. And this is all about connections. Check out the desperation that we see in Tom Hanks as he yearns for a connection, okay? She gives him the watch. And he's a UPS guy, higher up, and he's flying. And the plane, of course, goes down. He has lost connection. For 4 years, he is all alone. Can you imagine? All alone for 4 years. So he makes friends. Who was his friend? What? Wilson. All right, Wilson. Wilson was what kind of a ball?
Volleyball.
It was a volleyball. Okay. So he makes friends with a volleyball. And he names it Wilson. Okay. So he and Wilson are like really good friends. It's the only one he has to talk to is this volleyball that he paints a face on. And they didn't show it in the scene, but at one point, he wants his connection with Wilson so bad. They're on a raft, okay? And he's been out there for days, and he falls asleep, and the rudder keeps swinging back and forth while Wilson's, you know, hooked to the head of this, the top of this rudder. And Wilson falls off. Wilson starts drifting away from this raft. It's his only friend, Wilson, a volleyball, okay? Tom Hanks wakes up, and he looks, and he sees that Wilson is out there. This is salt water, okay? You can't drink it. You'll die. And he says, Wilson, I'm sorry! And he jumps in the ocean, and he runs after Wilson. What is this all about? It's about connections. People want connections. And even his imaginary friend, this ball, became his connection with something that he personified and he gave this human attribute to, okay? Now, for a minute, think about people and the need that people have for connections. Everybody in this room needs human connections. I mean, we're lost without it. You know, we're lost without it. I'll never forget Joey, this kid in seventh grade. I mean, he came up to me and this, you know, he was like really broken. He was having difficulty in his relationships. He had become connected to another seventh grade girl. And just eye contact alone was like the connection of the universe, all the planets, everything aligned. It was, you know, it was like beautiful. And they shared a few words. And he paused, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm not even kidding. It was the best moment of my life, okay? Because he had made a connection. You know, now when people say hi to each other, Young, can I use you this morning? Okay, come on up. Okay, Young and I, we're at a mall, we're shopping, and we just happen to run into each other. Oh, hey, how you doing? Okay, nice, great, have a good day. No, that wasn't much of a connection, okay? I've got an English friend. You know, he shakes hand and he goes like this and he pulls me away from him. I'm like, I'm not feeling the love, okay? Now, if Young was Italian, you know, how would I greet him? I'd start kissing him, right? Okay, Young, how you doing? I go, mwah, mwah, on both sides, okay? And did you see what he did? He patted me on the back. You know, it's like, yeah, okay? It's like, love, I'm feeling it, okay? It's like, it's great. So we have this connectivity that we absolutely would die without. A couple teachers were talking about a couple students that were in class the other day, and Charles is a fantastic, he's tall, like, I don't know, 6 foot, a million inches tall, black kid, and he's just real personable. And this new girl just started, you know, like a month ago, and they said, did you see how close they were sitting? They don't even know each other. You know, it's like, but they're connecting, okay? And so it's like, keep your eye on them. They're connecting, okay? So we want to connect. We just have this great, great, great need. And you know what? God has the need to connect with you. And whether we realize it or not, our greatest need is to connect with Him. And that's what we want to talk about today. God so loved the world. What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son, okay, as a baby. Now, did God have to manifest Himself as flesh and blood? Did He have to bleed when they drove the nails into Him? Did He really have to go to all that extreme? I mean, we went 4,000 years without Jesus Christ on the planet. And people still met with God. Noah built the ark. David danced before the tabernacle. Abraham met with God on a mountain. It was on fire. Did Jesus really have to come? Yeah, He did. Because we needed a Savior who could connect with us. You see, God gets you. He understands. Because He walked right where you walk. And He had all the same temptations. He just understands completely. Now, the truth of the matter is that you and I don't really understand how much He understands. That's really true. And seriously, if you ask Him to show you how much He understands, there'll be a fresh connection. I mean, it is absolutely awesome. It's awesome. Ephesians 4:16 says, from Him, the whole body, by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. This is the connection that we have with one another and the connections that we have with Him, the head. Above all things, we dire need to belong and to be connected. Thanksgiving Day, I was with my nephew. My nephew really loves the Lord. Paul is his name. And he's still single, very nice looking. You look him up on Facebook, Chabot, C-H-A-B-O-T. Anyhow, he's pretty hairy, though. I don't know what the babies look like. Hairy Chinese babies. I don't know. I can't imagine that. Anyhow, he's really a nice guy. And he says he loves the Lord. He has Bible studies all the time. And I said, hey, Paul, how's it going with the Lord? How you doing with Jesus? He goes, okay. 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 Okay is not okay. I'm just saying, okay? And so he said, that was funny. So he says, yeah, it's not like it's bad. It's not bad, but it's not, like, really good. I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, I only read my Bible about twice a week now. And I says, well, what about, like, that all-the-time time with God? Like, you're always aware, you know? He goes, oh, I got that going on. I know God's always there, and I'm kind of, like, you know, connecting, you know, in my head, you know, thinking about Him and all that. But I don't have that special time when I'm just alone with God. And I said, Paul, I'm going to tell you why. And his dad was standing there. He said, you're going to tell me why? I said, yeah, I'm going to tell you why. Because God's not that important. God's not that important to you. If you're not connecting with Him, it's just because you don't want to. What do you got going on? Study? Yeah. Girlfriend? Yeah. New one? Yeah. Okay. guess what? School, girlfriend, homework, friends. All more important than God. There's no problem with God. He can connect anytime. He's always there. But are we always there? So Christmas, what a message. The greatest gift of all. So that God could connect with us in a wonderful, wonderful way. Colossians 2:19 says, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Christians lose connection. They don't always stay connected. You get saved, you have that sinner's prayer thing, which isn't even in the Bible. But we pray, we get down on our knees, we ask God into our lives, and we have a connection. And then, you know what? To really stay healthy, we have to stay connected. And so that's what we want to look at today. Everything is held together by God's Word. Jesus came to earth to bring us this life and death connection. You know, I love Scripture because so many times there's places in there like the psalmist says, one thing have I desired, and that's what I'm going to seek after. Have you ever noticed like newspapers are like thick? And like you take all the newspaper articles for a year and you stack them up about the local history or the history of the United States, it's really thick. You know, and then look in your history book at like 1776, for example. What, they got 2 pages on it now? Used to be this thick, full of newspaper. It all boils down to one thing. You know what? Your life's going to boil down to one thing. When you're dead, people are going to remember you for one thing. What's it going to be? What's that one thing? All the days, 365 days a year, as many years as you live, you know, it boils down to one thing. This guy, this psalmist had it together. One thing have I sought after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. David writes, as a deer pants and is like breathing heavy, looking for water, that's what my heart is running after. The psalmist writes, as the eyes, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm standing life for. As the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, what is she going to do next? I'm right there to help her. So the eyes of the servant of the Lord look to him to see what he is doing. One focus, one purpose, one connection in life. There are many throughout Scripture, and I know that every single one of us can identify with these people who vacillate. They start out okay, but then they have some other thing going on in their lives. Hezekiah, for example, great king. But Hezekiah wasn't only connected to God, but he ended up connecting to King Ahab. And Ahab was married to, anybody know who his wife was? Jezebel. Wasn't she a sweetie, huh? Yeah. All right. She's a nasty, brutal, none of you guys want to marry something like that. I'm just saying, okay? Because she's like running the whole household, telling her, oh man, what he supposed to be doing, how he's supposed to be taking this piece of property from, you know, what was his name? The guy who had the vineyard. Nabal? No. Maybe. I don't know. Anyhow, it was really, she was running the show, okay? So, Hezekiah, the good guy, has one bad friend. You know what happened? Hezekiah's son ends up marrying Ahab's daughter. Nasty connection, okay? From that point on, it went downhill. Who are your friends? Who are you connecting with? Okay, David loved God. And Bathsheba, wrong connection. Okay, Solomon loved the wisdom of God. Great connection. Hey, kid Solomon, what would you like me to give you? I'd like a hearing heart so I know how to govern your people. You got it. So he got that. Along with 1,000 women that took his heart away. Okay? Wrong connection. In the New Testament, Demas, one of the disciples, great guy, loved God. But he also loved this present world. That's a problem. You know? It's a huge problem. All right? I mean, if we were to pretend for a minute in this room that some young man over here, I won't pick on anybody because it gets real embarrassing, was madly in love with 3 girls in the same room. Is that going to work? The girls are saying no. It's not going to work, okay? And God is the same way, you know. I mean, he does not want his bride, you know, girls. I mean, you only want, you know, one man in your life forever, right? The one you're going to marry. Is that right? Please go like this. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, I mean, why are all the girls? Oh, we got a few boys that we got. Okay, good. I just want to say all the guys and some of the girls and some of the boys that like the girls. Okay, so we're a little mixed here today, so that's good. So yeah, love is exclusive. Love is exclusive. And that's how God is toward us. You've got all kinds of other examples in Scripture. But then you've got these great people in the Bible that did not vacillate. They got connected the way they were supposed to, and they stayed true to their one love. That's God's plan for our lives, okay? He has stayed true to us, that his love for us killed him, caused him to lay his life down, because he loves us so much. And then he said, love as I have loved. So that's the pattern that he has for us, okay? I think of Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's son. David was going to be the king in place of Saul. But if you look, there's King Saul, and it was only natural that the next king would be Jonathan. He was in line. The thing is, the anointing was going to David. All right? David from the tribe of Judah. Saul was from the tribe of Benjamin. And so there you have this incredible friendship where Jonathan says, God's plan comes first. I know I could be king. I know I could have all this. But God's plan comes first. What a beautiful picture, you know, and friendship that we have in Jonathan. Jonathan was connected to the Lord in such a way that his connection with David was right. They had a right friendship. And then throughout Scripture, you find these connections between people. The first, the mighty prophet Elijah, found a faithful servant named Elisha. And Elisha left everything behind. He left all of his farming equipment, he left his occupation, he left his land, and he became connected. It's all about connectivity to Elisha. And he would not turn away from Elisha. Elisha was going to die, be taken up in a chariot of fire. All right? And I love this portion in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, when the Lord was about to take Elisha up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah said to Elisha, and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. Elisha says, I'm not staying here. I'm going wherever you go. So he followed him on. And again, Elisha says, why don't you stay here? God's sending me to Jericho. He says, no, I'm going to stick with you. And there were all these prophets in the meantime saying, did you know, Elisha, that God is going to disconnect you today from Elijah? He's going to take him up. He says, I know. Be quiet. So then Elisha again says, stay back. He says, no, I'm not going to. You know, there's a persistence when you have the right connection. You stay connected, even when the person tells you to stay away. Okay? He says, no, God's calling me to Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave you. And the two of them walked on. And of course, we know the story. These chariots of fire, a chariot of fire came from heaven in flaming, and it picked up Elijah and carried him off. And his cloak fell to the ground. And Elisha picked it up. And Elisha walked on with that, and he took that cloak at Jordan, and he smote the Jordan River, and it spread apart. And there were some people off in the distance watching. And they said, Elisha has the spirit of Elijah. And Elisha was so brilliant, he asked for a double portion. And as you read in his life, a double portion of the Lord's Spirit. He had twice as much of a connection with God. He did twice as many miracles. It's awesome, okay? Because of his connection with God. And our lives are full of competition. You know, things people want to connect to us and draw us away. And there has to be one connection that reigns supreme in our lives. I was thinking about this. James and John, they were totally connected. Young guys who had set their heart after God were so connected. Paul, I love the fact that Paul, when he got saved, he had been in church, but when he got saved, he didn't go to church right away. God didn't lead him that way. He was off in some Arabian desert with the Old Testament scrolls, because he had studied them from the time he was a little child, and God began to breathe life on those so that Paul had a clarity about God's word that Peter didn't even have. Because Peter was connected with God, yeah, but he kept getting messed up and fearful about his connections with people. And that was a major distraction in Peter's life. He would succumb. He'd start like eating with the Gentiles, then he'd withdraw from the Gentiles, and only eat with the Jews and follow the religious people's order of things. And then he'd get back with the Gentiles, and then depending on who was watching him, changed in how he behaved. So Paul finally rebuked him. See, there was a double connection there. And so we want to be careful. We want God to breathe on this today, because it says that He is the Word of God. And the water of His Word. And I started thinking about water. Water is phenomenal. Some of you have studied water in chemistry, haven't you? Isn't water like, it's just amazing stuff. It brings life. Like, if I had, and I was going to bring squirt bottles and I forgot all that stuff, but if I put wax paper down or just a piece of glass and I squirt water on it, the water beads up. It gets all like in little balls, little beads. And you go, yeah, okay, big deal. Yeah, right. Okay, can we talk about something else? No, but it's like water is H2O, of course, and it has like two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen. And the oxygen is this great big old thing, okay? And then the hydrogen's got these two little things connect down here, all right? And because of that, and these are like positive, the hydrogen is positive. Is that right? Okay, good. And the oxygen is negative, all right? And so it's got like all this open space on the top part of that molecule to connect. And it connects. It connects everywhere. It's got these two positive hydrogens that are just out there going, I want to connect. And so water connects with everything. And water connects with itself. That's why it beads up. It's like, ooh, we're water. Boom, they bead up, okay? And it's like the body of Christ. When we connect, we so connect with each other that we form this beautiful bubble of living water. And the other thing about water is that it has such connectivity that it is the ultimate solvent on the entire planet. There's not another solvent on Earth that dissolves everything around it. You put it in a glass of water, it's dissolving the glass. You better drink it pretty quick. Okay, I'm kidding. But it is, okay? And I'm not kidding, but it's not that quick, okay? Water dissolves everything. It's amazing. And the thing that I wanted to bring out today, and this is a truth that's like really interesting to me, because it's so grounded in God's Word, this whole thing about water. It's like pH neutral. It takes on any shape. If I pour it into a tall vase or a test tube, it's tall. If I pour it into a bowl, it spreads out. It freezes, and it gets bigger. Nothing freezes and gets bigger except water. When molecules get cold, they condense, they shrink, okay? It's just the way it is. Metal gets smaller when it gets cold. Water gets bigger, and it's less dense. It's amazing stuff. Then you can turn it into a gas, okay? And it's a vapor. It just floats around. Like, wow, did you see the water go by? It's really cool stuff. And then God says that we are to be vessels. How much water are we? What percentage? Anybody know? I'm hearing everything. Okay, anywhere from 70 to 90% water, okay? What is it? Is there a number? 70? 70% water. We're water. We're to be the Word of God. Listen, we're to be solvent. We're to have this water of God's Word that dissolves everything around us. It happens, and it breaks it down, and it takes God's Word, and it connects it so that everything that goes on, because we have that water of His Word in us, we can connect with everything that's going on. We just saw a video. We connect to it, okay? Because there's this connectivity to being the water of His Word. It's awesome the way that works in our lives. Now, because we are the water of His Word, we can connect with good things, or we can connect with bad things. And what happens is, when you connect with a bad thing, you dissolve that bad thing and it becomes part of you. When you connect with your H2O of your being to a good thing, it dissolves that and it becomes part of you. Water, another thing water does, because it connects with so many different minerals. Even as you drink water, okay, and you should drink pure water. Water in its natural state will form molecules that are hexagonal. Okay, if you process water through reverse osmosis, it ends up pentagonal, which is a little weird because snowflakes are always hexagonal. So this hexagonal natural pure water has an openness in it to carry trace minerals throughout your entire body, okay? And that's what happens when we connect in the right way. We pick up trace truths everywhere we go, and it connects. Now, here's what happens in life, okay? As Christians, we begin to see that there is good and there is evil. And we go through life saying, that's bad, that's good. All right? Now, what I want to do is bring, and that's very Old Testament. Thick book, lots of rules, lots of laws. And it said, this is bad, and this is good. It is bad to eat pork. It is good to eat lamb. It is bad to kill your neighbor. It is good to love your neighbor. All right? It is good to give. It is bad to steal. All right? And we can go through. It is bad to have sex before you are married. It is good to have sex after you are married. It goes through all these rules, okay? But then Jesus comes along, and He doesn't talk about good and bad. He talks about life, which is very interesting. He is the water of the Word. And so all of us sitting here today have done some things that are bad. And we connected with the bad, and it kind of dissolved, and it got in us, and it's like, oh, now the water's polluted, okay? But what God would have us do, instead of saying, yeah, that's bad, is like, how can this become life? Whole different focus. Jesus Christ came as a baby, grew up, and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am the discerner between that which is good and that which is bad. No. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when bad things happen, and they will happen, and when you sin, and you have sinned, and you will sin, for all have sinned and come short, sinned, past tense, and continue to come short of the glory of God. Okay? And when that happens, what God wants us to do is find His life in it. All right? Find His life in it. So much so that, look, we've got a little thing here today, okay? This is what I prepared 3 weeks ago for class. You know what this used to be? It used to be hot chocolate. Still smells like hot chocolate. How many of you make hot chocolate? You make hot chocolate? Okay. Do you make it with, like, you know, the powdered chocolate? This is cocoa. I have, like, in the morning when I have my coffee, I brew my coffee, and then I have this little container of cocoa, and I dip a little spoon into a little cocoa, a little cinnamon, you know, and 2 scoops of raw sugar, yeah, and then my coffee, all right, and every time, I got a nasty coffee cup in my car right now. It's so nasty, I didn't even bring it in to show you, but you know what happens? All the cocoa settles to the bottom. Now, if I shake this up, you know, really hard, oh, look, it muddies up the water. Okay, oh, look, it's cocoa again. Would you like some cocoa? I didn't think so. Okay, so, but if I leave this long enough, it's going to all settle to the bottom, which is really kind of cool, because God is so about life that if we let Him into our lives, all the garbage will settle, and then you can pour pour off the good part and just get rid of the other, okay? Now, it's water, but the interesting thing is that the water never seems to dissolve. Well, it will eventually. It will dissolve the cocoa eventually. It's been 3 weeks, and you can see it's all going to settle there. But now here, this is coffee, okay? And if I take cream, could you hold this for me? I'll try not to spill this. This is going to be hard. If I pour the cream into the coffee, okay, there we go, and I let this sit for 3 weeks, it's never going to separate. This is what is so cool. God's word is like that cream. Okay, if I shake this up, check it out. That is never going to separate. You can still see little swirls of it here and there. But it never separates. And God's word is like that in us. It totally, totally connects. But the beauty of this is, God's word connects. All right? But sin is never meant to totally connect in our lives. Even though the H2O, the oxygen, and those two positive hydrogen atoms are trying to, you know, dissolve that cocoa, it's having a tough time. All right? So God wants to separate the sin out from us, and he wants us to focus on having his word so become a part of us that the water of his word, dissolves our old nature, and we become completely new, like that bottle there with the coffee and cream. It's his word integrating completely into us. So they cannot be separated again, all right? It's awesome that way. So let me review something to make it very clear. We know good from evil. But instead of being judges and cynical about what is right and what is wrong, stay away from that which is wrong. Yes. But when you find something in your life that is not right, you can't separate yourself from yourself, because you're wrong. But what you can do is invite God's word in. That's why Jesus came. That's why he gave us something to drink, wine, you know, grape juice, and said it was his blood, it would cleanse us. And I want to give you a frame of mind here that's very, very godly. And it's right from the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing." Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God, by God living in me." In many ways, you and I are like these two bottles put together, okay? We've got this, and we have this. But you know what Paul said? Paul said, "I'm the chiefest among sinners." He also said this, "It is no longer I who does the sinning, but it is sin that is within me." That sounds so weird, so goofy. But what Paul was saying is this: I separate myself from myself. And I see myself as God sees me, with his word completely transforming me. I can never be black coffee again. Okay? And that's what Paul's saying. I will never be the same because Christ is in me. Yeah, there's still some nasty things hidden in my heart, some wrong attitudes. And when I fail, he says, it's not me that's failing. It's the sin that is within me. It's in Romans. It's not I, but sin. All right? And so there's this identification that makes a connection. Jesus came to earth to make a connection with us. And now he's left it up to us to make a connection in our minds and our hearts with him. With him, all right? With him. It's beautiful. What are some life connections? What about music? Is there some music that you listen to that really helps you connect with God? Raise your hand if that's true. All right. Woo! Listen to the right music. It's awesome. What about people? Are there some people that you connect with that just get you on the right page with God? Raise your hand if you have some friends that really help you meet with God. Let me see those hands. All right, the rest of you need to find some new friends. All right. What about studies? What about studies? You study, you're in college, you're in school, and you get into a certain class, and it's like, ah, I was made for this class. I love this class. Anybody have that? Two people. Okay, good. Yes. No, that's true. And here's the point. This is what I want to get to. This is really exciting, okay? Because you are made for God's purpose. There is one plan for your life. And as you give yourself to that one ultimate connection, all the other connections that you make in life are going to be made because you've got this one connection with God. And I'll tell you what, when that one connection is strong and you start getting the right music, the right friends, the right study, the right job, the right relationships, you are going to be in your zone. You are going to be in your happy place. You are going to be on the right track. You're going to be just humming along like, woo! You see what I'm saying? Do you get this? Yeah, it's like dancing. It's like dancing. That's what it's like, okay? Now, some people dance kind of cool. Some people look a little weird, okay? You ever see that one? That one Elaine on Seinfeld? Do you ever see that one? Okay, good for you. That's terrible, all right? Anyhow, Elaine can't dance, but she thinks she can, all right? And she can't dance. She goes like, you know, with the music, and she looks terrible. I mean, really bad, you know. And every now and then, you know, like she'll snap her fingers, and she does this, like, weird move. How many of you know how to do the Dougie? Is that what it, the Dougie? The Doogie? What's it called? Is it Dougie? The Dougie? So you're all sitting there pretending you don't know what I'm talking about. And you really do. That's really funny. I like that, okay? Anyhow. All right. You know, you put your hands back and you just kind of look stupid, okay, with the music. All right. But the reason I bring it up is because dancing connects you. That music is out there and it comes in and it wraps around your head and pretty soon you just can't stop moving to the music, right? You're like in your zone. You're like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm doing this, okay? And you go crazy. You know, it's really, really fun. People like to be excited. You know, my granddaughters found a dead deer floating in our pond. And you know what little girls like to do? They love to scream. They love to scream, you know? So one spotted it and she goes, ah, ah! And the other goes, what, what, what? And they go, a dead deer! And I go, ah! They just love to scream because they're in their zone. They're girls. They're supposed to scream. They live in a suburb where they're not allowed to scream. So they come out there and they scream, okay? And God wants us to scream. He wants us to dance. He wants us to love our connection with Him so that everything that we do is born out of that relationship and everything else we exclude. And that's why today I'm not focusing on what are your bad connections. Figure it out for yourself. Without having a thou shalt not listen to that garbage music anymore. Let the Holy Ghost tell you that. I don't think we need to teach about dating standards. If we teach people how to stay connected with God, guess what? Everybody's going to maintain their purity. Because they love God so much. You won't listen to wrong music. You won't engage in wrong activities. You won't look at things you shouldn't look at because your connection with Him is so strong that you don't need to study good and evil because you're studying life and you're running after Him because He is your ultimate connection in life. It's fantastic. I just want to tell you that sin is not worth the pleasure that it brings temporarily. And you know that. You know that. Sin is like the bag of potato chips. It tastes so good. The salt, the crunch. But you can't eat just one. I have a problem with Triscuits. Do you guys like Triscuits? Is that what they're called? Yeah. And they've got one out, and I can't find it. If you find it anywhere, let me know. It's the fire roasted one. Tomato fire roasted. Oh my goodness, those things are so good. I can't find them anywhere. But I can't eat just one. It's just like sin. You can't sin a little bit. No, I eat the whole box. Okay? The whole box. Can't can't help it. And when I eat it, I don't just eat it. I take it, and I look for the one that has all the spices on it. Yeah, it's got like extra little nerds of dark spices. And I find that one, and I take it out, and I look at it, and then I put it in my mouth, and I leave it on my tongue, and it's like, yeah, spices! So good. All right, and then I crunch it, and then I look for another one. By the time I'm done, all the ones that are left are the ones that don't have a lot of the spice on them, you know, but they're still got to eat them anyhow. But I'm saying sin is like that, okay? Sin is just like that. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual. God's laws, thou shalt not, they're spiritual. But Paul says, I'm a slave. I'm unspiritual. I'm sold as a slave to sin. This is Paul talking. I do not understand what I do. Anybody that stupid here? I think so. Understand what I do. We just do stupid things, wrong things, okay? It's a Christmas song. Oh, that's okay. Did you want to stand and sing a special? A Christmas special. Okay, let's move on. This is where Paul says, it's no longer I who sin, but it's sin that's in me, okay? More sin or more of God? That's the question today for every single one of us. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I just want to present to you today a simple little truth. If you abide in me, my words will abide in you, and you will ask what you will, and it will be done unto you. You know, we want to be connected to God. Be connected to God. Now listen, it's not all that nice. I'm just going to tell you. Because he says, if you don't stay connected, I will cut you off. It's just what he says. I've sent my Son. I sent my Holy Spirit. I stretch my hand out every day. Will you connect with me? Will you connect with me? Abide in me and I'll abide in you. Anyone who doesn't abide in me will be cut off. All right? But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Get this. If you have any conviction, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. Guess what? It is possible to be condemned with the world. Those who know and do not respond are in bigger trouble than those who have never heard. Let's have our response song, and then I'll come back and we'll pray together. All right?